Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live. We've got a show for you on this beautiful Thanksgiving here in South Philadelphia. Hoping everyone is happy and healthy and looking forward to a great weekend with family and friends and loved ones. And, oh, the celebration of the holiday season is here for everyone. So we've got Happy Hanukkah for those who celebrate Hanukkah. Happy Thanksgiving as well. And just a great day to be here with you. Chip Kelly will meet the media in just a few moments. And of course, we anticipate a lot of questions about his offensive scheme and the comments made by Arizona head coach Bruce Arians during his conference call with Philadelphia reporters on Wednesday, talking about the read option offense and saying that it was a good college offense. Now, certainly the Eagles not running the read option predominantly here, but we'll be interested to hear what Chip Kelly has to say about that. He'll also update us on the injury situation as the Eagles get ready for Sunday's biggie against the red-hot Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals 7-4. They've won four straight games. The Eagles, of course, three consecutive wins, a 6-5 record. We take a look at the standings. A lot of playoff implications throughout the conference, and with three football games today, two of them in the NFC, a lot riding on it. Of course, the Cowboys today, a little later on, play the Oakland Raiders in Texas. So that's a game we are praying for the Raiders to go out and play an outstanding football game and beat the Cowboys. Also, the Packers meet the Lions. The Lions, the opponent next week. So they'll get a little mini break this weekend. But the Eagles are focused on the Arizona Cardinals, and they are Arizona that is right in the thick of things in the NFC West. And so, hey, lots to get to here this weekend, and a lot to get to on the show. We've got a visit coming from Trent Cole, who sits down in studio with Chris McPherson. We'll also talk to the NFL Network's Albert Breer, and we're going to break things down just a little bit in our fantasy look. Our fantasy guru, Joe Dolan, takes a look at the world of the fantasy as everybody's getting closer and closer to the playoffs. Who do you start down the stretch in your fantasy football league? And we also take a timeout with Deuce Staley, Eagles running backs coach, in our coach's corner. He's got a lot to work with here with four talented running backs, not just LeSean McCoy, but also Bryce Brown, Chris Polk, and Matthew Tucker, who we find out just a little bit about from Deuce Staley, former Eagles great running back, now doing an outstanding job with his Eagles running back group. Chip Kelly up next. We'll hear from him in just a second. First things first, though, the Eagles and the Cardinals, it's an interesting history. The Eagles have lost some big games to the Cardinals. And in this vantage point, we start with a game the Eagles won, a pretty heroic performance from one Donovan McNabb.
Donovan McNabb never dogged it for a moment on the field. He left it all out on the field. And the Cardinal game is perfect evidence of that.
Donovan McNabb, early in the game, in the first quarter, breaks his leg.
And he's going to stop and be hit and brought down and sacked. The football comes loose, and McNabb is hurt. McNabb is hurt.
Well, McNabb got twisted like a pretzel, and he was almost doubled over backwards. And you can see the right knee being twisted.
Donovan McNabb comes back in the second half. You could see he was hurting. I remember being told that, and this would never happen in today's world, that he didn't want the x-ray, he would be fine. And then you hear the news that he broke his ankle.
Just shows you the toughness that you have to play with in the National Football League. It shows a lot about Donovan McNabb and the way he played the game. He comes out against the Cardinals, he threw four touchdown passes on a broken leg.
Most NFL quarterbacks are on the sidelines when the injury occurs. Donovan not only stayed in the game, but was incredibly effective. That's probably as good a performance by somebody injured as I can remember in all the years I've watched NFL football.
You know, you talk about goal line stands. Nothing compares with what occurred in October of 1992, Eagles and the Cardinals at the Vet.
Well, back in the day, the Cardinals used to be in the Eagles division, and it seemed like every year, never failed, even if the Cardinals were horrible, they would always play the Eagles tough. They'd upset an Eagles team that there's no way the Eagles should have lost to them. So you always knew when you saw the schedule come out, the Cardinals. They were like that gnat. They were like that green fly on you on the beach down the shore that you're just kind of swatting off.
Joe Bugel had become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. And Joe Bugel had been the offensive line coach for the Washington Redskins through their glory years under Joe Gibbs. That hard-nosed, tough, smash-mouth kind of football was really what the NFC East was about. It was what the Washington Redskins were about. It was certainly what Joe Bugel was about as a Redskins line coach. And it was that mentality that he wanted to bring to the Arizona Cardinals.
The reason I remember this game so well is because it's known as the Joe Bugel game. They need about a yard. And they try seven times to get the yard.
Here were the Cardinals just outside of the goal line.
We're not talking about the two, the three. It was inches. And Joe Bugel, play after play after play, was just slamming it into the middle of the line.
Chandler, this time, gets it off, and they stick Bailey. They stick him.
To a point where you just thought, what is he doing? I mean, at least once, you got to fake it and try and roll out. You maybe got to throw a pass. You got to do something.
Here's another third down. What is this, the third and goal? The hand of Johnny Bailey, and they stand him up, and he doesn't make it again. He loses.
And I'm at the game, and I keep looking over to the Cardinals sideline. I'm saying, they get it that they're not going to be able to score doing this. They're going to do something different, right?
Each time the Eagles stop them, you weren't getting nervous. You got more confident. You went, oh, go ahead, keep trying, because you're not getting anywhere.
Here we go, fourth and goal. Hand off Johnny Bailey. Does he make it? No! No!
It was seven times they ran it, seven times they got stopped. They could have run it seven more times, and they wouldn't have scored. It was that kind of day.
Seven times.
Joe Bugel.
All righty, we're going to go now. Chip Kelly meets the media here at the NovaCare Complex.
Anything offensively, so, you know, it's I say it all the time, and I don't mean to. We got a one-game season. We're playing the Arizona Cardinals, and that's all we're concerned with. So,
we talked to Bruce Arians yesterday during conference call, and he was asked about the read option, and he said that it's a great college offense, and said that up here the fact that it exposes the quarterback to hits. Probably makes it more of a college offense than a pro one. I'm just interested, obviously, if someone uses it as a part of his offense, what do you think of that comment?
I don't think it's an offense. I think it's a play. So,
yeah.
I mean, and we don't run read option if you want to get really technical. We run a zone read play every once in a while. So it's just like saying our offense is a power offense because we run the power play. Or the old Green Bay Packers, their offense was the Green Bay sweep offense. It isn't. Everybody's got a bunch of plays they run offensively, whether it's everybody's got quick game, everybody's got screens, everybody's got drop back, everybody's got out of pocket, everybody's got power, counter, inside zone, outside zone. So I never looked at it as an offense. So.
Do you find that it's still those types of plays that involve the quarterback running, there's still a resistance to them in the NFL just by some coaches that have been around a long time?
I don't really think about what other coaches that have been around, whether they've been around for 1 year or 10 years, what they think. Our staff puts together a plan that we think is going to be successful that week, and that's all we concern ourselves with. So,
what is the difference between read option and zone read?
Zone read's just one guy. You're reading the defensive end or whomever and keeping it. If you're running read option, you're pulling it off of him, and then you got a pitch back with you, and then you're pitching the ball. So,
the Niners, the way they run that, isn't that similar to the way that you guys do it?
No. They got three guys in the backfield with two tight ends, and they run it from a pistol formation, so I think it's very different than what we do. I think what the Redskins do is very different than what we do. So,
do you find that you use it less with Nick than you did with?
I find we use it depending on what the defense is deployed and how they're doing it. I know Nick picked up a couple critical third downs in the Green Bay game for us. Picked up a couple critical third downs in the Redskins game for us, but we don't use it as much as people think we use it. You know, it's about 10 years ago when everybody started. We played a game when I was at New Hampshire running plays out of the shotgun, and every play we ran, everybody yelled draw. Well, because up 10 years ago, whenever you handed out of the shotgun, it was a draw. Didn't matter if it was sweep or power or counter or zone or whatever, it was a draw. So it's whatever, however you want to label it. So,
did you run more of that at Oregon, that with the three guys?
No, we didn't do any of that. No, that's not what we do. We're a spread out team.
Quarterbacks get hit in the pocket and injured all the time. I mean, do you think it's inaccurate for people to assume that
a quarterback's more likely to get injured on a read option play than he might on another play?
I think basically to answer everybody's question, I don't care what other people think. So I don't. It doesn't bother me, and I don't. I mean, to spend time for me to think about what someone else thinks is counter to anything I've ever believed in my life. If I believe what other people think, then that means I value their opinion more than I value my own. That's not the case. It's that quarterbacks get hurt. Quarterbacks have got hurt in practice. Quarterbacks get hurt running out of bounds. Quarterbacks get hurt when a blitz hits them and they don't recognize it. I don't look at it that way. Never have looked at it that way. So,
is naming an offense like, you know, the way they had a San Francisco West Coast offense, pro style, is that a dated idea? Is that just not the way things are done anymore? Is everybody a hybrid?
I don't know how things are done, and I try to say this all the time. Here's our offense. We run the Seacoast offense. If we see something, okay, and we like it and we think it fits, we're going to run it. So the Philadelphia Eagles run the Seacoast offense. Let's run with that today, and we'll go from there.
Are you comfortable with the way that Nick was protecting himself, particularly in the last game? He's kind of never has been a running quarterback, and maybe he's still not now, but when he gets an open space, I guess that's something.
Yeah, we've always preached the same thing. We preach first touchdown, first down, get down. You know, and I've said it since the day we got here, and it's the same thing I talked about when we were at Oregon. It's the same thing I talked about when we were at New Hampshire. You know, so and I think that's a big deal in terms of your quarterbacks, is teaching them if they are running, no matter who they are. And I don't care if you run off a scramble. You know, if you take off when everybody's in man coverage and you can gain the first down, and, you know, we need to get a first down to keep the drive alive, and that's a big deal for us. You know, one of the big plays that occurred in the Saints-Cardinals game earlier in the year was everybody was covered. Drew Brees ran it in. And as smart as Drew is, instead of hook sliding, because if he hook slide, he would have been down at the one. He dove from the one and scored a touchdown. So I think it's just making good decisions, no matter who you are, no matter what play you call. If you're a quarterback and you're in the open field, you gotta know what you can get and what you can't get. And I don't think any coach in the NFL or in college wants your quarterback taking hits, unless you know you got that Tim Tebow type. That's you're running power, and Tim Tebow is usually delivering the blow, not accepting.
How do you think Nick has done against the blitz?
I think Nick's done a really good job against the blitz. You know, I think it's one of his strengths, because I think he's intelligent. He's got a really good understanding of what we're doing. You know, a lot of it starts up front with us setting protections and making sure we're all on the same page. But I think Nick overall has done a good job against the blitz.
How can you use tempo? Does tempo discourage teams from blitzing as much or make it more difficult for them to set up their blitzes?
I don't. You know, I think it just depends on how defenses, you know, how much they practice against it and what they do and, you know, how they handle it. I think most of the time this year teams have practiced against it because it's more prevalent, I think, in this league now. And so I think teams are defensively are doing more to keep their packages in there, and they can still run them. So I've seen, you know, when we've tempoed people, they've still blitzed us. So
the same five guys on the other line all year hasn't been the case in the past. What's that stability meant to the offense and what you're able to do?
I think it's just overall for any position if you continue. You know, we've had the same three receivers. You know, we've had the same tight end. You know, I think there's whenever you continue to play, and it's when you have starters with games lost, I think it's always a difficult deal just because of the preparation part of it and getting guys ready to play in games. And with the limited amount of snaps you have during the week in practice, to try to get someone else ready and prepared to play at game speed with people, especially in a position like the offensive line, when the guy next year, you know, there's a lot of calls being made, and a lot of times it's you've been next week so long they're assumed. Like we've seen this like 30,000 times, so we know how we're blocking this, you know. And then if you get a new guy in there, there's just that experience factor, and the more experience you have, the more comfortable you get with the people around you, the easier it becomes for us. So it's a huge thing for us, not only in the O-line, but I think in a lot of our positions, because we haven't lost many guys, especially starters, to injuries that have had them out, that it's really helped us.
Nixon had only one ball batted down at the line. Do you see some sort of direct correlation between what you did in the preseason and training camp with the fly swatters, and has that helped him at all, and perhaps even Michael?
I think it helps because it just gets them to understand throwing lanes, you know, and that you just can't let it rip no matter what. You know, that there are defensive linemen that are going to be over there, and that's part of the problems with the drill itself in 7-on-7 is that your quarterback can get into that comfort zone, you know, where he's got to get the ball off. He can't hold it that long, but yet you're not rushing him. So, you know, how do you get really good work on routes and timing and reading coverage and all those other things without doing everything 11-on-11 all the time? So we just feel like it's added to it. You know, I think it's helped a little bit.
Do
Do you expect everyone to kind of be healthy enough to play except for perhaps Earl? I mean, is he the only one?
As of today, yeah. So everybody's gone full, and I'm pretty consistent every, so I'm going to answer it the same way. We got 3 more days of training. Hopefully, you know, if we had to play a game today, then everybody would be up, everybody would be eligible to go except for Earl, so.
When you looked at Bill Davis's tenure as defensive coordinator at Arizona in the last year specifically, the numbers weren't great, but
I didn't look at numbers.
What did you look at his time there?
Okay. I looked at what does he know from a football standpoint, how intelligent is he, and what type of teacher is he? And that's what I look at. I think people get so caught up in statistics that sometimes it's baffling to me. You know, you may look at a guy and say, well, they were in the bottom of the league defensively. Well, they had 13 starters out. They should be in the bottom of the league defensively. Is that Billy's fault? And I don't know what it was, and I don't look at it that way, but it hasn't been that. That's not been my mindset. You know, I hired Mark Helfrich as our offensive coordinator when I was at the University of Oregon. Their numbers weren't great at Colorado, but you sit down and talk football with Hell for about 10 minutes, and he's a pretty sharp guy. Really brought a lot to the table and has done an outstanding job. He's now the head coach at Oregon. You know, I think people get caught up in that. It's, you know, a lot of times if a coach, you may have a great player, you know, is whoever coached Adrian Peterson, is that the best running back coach in the country? I don't know. I got to meet him. He could actually be, but let's find out what he teaches and what he does. But some of it, it's, you know, you're teaching to what you have available to you, and sometimes that's something that I consider. So I'm not I don't look at the statistics part of it and say, hey, we need to get that coach. You know, sometimes, honestly, if you look at statistics, you need to get that player, you know.
Two more guys. How's the lack of space affect you? What do you think we'll do to try to compensate for that?
I think we're fine because when we're doing all of our group work, we're on the field. You know, I think we have to compensate a little bit. Obviously, you'd like it to be a little bit bigger, but you can adjust. But, I mean, we're not – your kicking game suffers just because of the ceiling. But, I mean, you got a 60-yard field, so, you know, we don't – if we're throwing the ball, I mean, we room to throw the ball down the field, you know, and we've got everybody cleared off in those situations, so I think we're fine.
Seems like Bryce Brown hasn't been able to get going quite like he did last season. He's slipping a couple times before hitting a hole. Can you just talk about what you've seen out of him and the importance of him kind of stepping up to alleviate some of
that? I mean, I think Bryce's doing a really good job when called upon. I think the difference between this year and last year is that 25 is healthy. You know, so a lot of times with Bryce, you know, Bryce ran for 170 in one game, well, because LeSean didn't play in that game. So, you know, when you've got health, then the guys that are the number two aren't going to get as many reps. But I think he's had some big plays for us when we've called upon him. I think when he has a limited amount of carries like he has, when he does slip, I think it's overamplified. If he had 20 carries in the game and slipped on one, you don't really talk about the slip. When he has 3 carries in the game and slips on one, then you kind of think about the slip. So I just think it's more of his numbers aren't what they were a year ago, but I also think it's because we're healthy at the other spot. So.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. All right, that is head coach Chip Kelly, who meets the media today. Yeah, I like it. The Sea Coast offense. If we see it and we like it and it works, we use it. Excellent from Chip Kelly, Eagles head coach. Eagles getting on the practice field today, preparing for Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals. We've got a lot to get to in the show. Next up, NFL Network's Albert Breer stops by the studio. And the conversation, what else, about the coach and the quarterback coming up here on Eagles Live.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 electric chances, 5 cash knives, 4 big fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by NFL Network's Albert Breer. And Albert, we've talked all through the preseason, all through the regular season here. Your feeling on the Eagles at 6-5, surprised?
Well, I'm a little surprised. I think they've done a nice job of adjusting, you know, and obviously I think we all thought that Chip Kelly was going to need to have a more athletic quarterback coming in here. And that's why I went with Michael Vick to start with. And I think it was nice for him to be able to see how some of his concepts would work at the NFL level. And now we're seeing that it's adjustable enough and it's, you know, it's malleable enough where you can put another quarterback in there who's got a very different skill set and make it work. You know, so I think the fact that they've gone through all that transition, figuring out who they are, figuring out what they do well from an offensive standpoint and on defense, going from the 4-3 to the 3-4, very different system, and they're still 6-5, it's very impressive. Now, let's not act as if that's done in a vacuum. But that also wasn't done in a vacuum. Part of that is the division they play in, which has been absolutely awful. And so the fact that they're in that group with the Giants and the Redskins and the Cowboys helps. But, you know, I think that the fact that they've gone through all that transition, changing the roster over, all the new guys they have on offense and defense, new systems, to be sitting here at 6-5, I think if you're Chip Kelly, you got to be pretty happy and you've got your team in a position where, on paper at least, it should get better over the next 5 weeks.
From the very start of Chip Kelly's time here, it's been quarterback, coach. We're talking all for months, all we've done is talk about that. Your feeling on Chip and what he has shown you, in addition to what you just said, malleable system, able to adjust to the personnel offensively?
Well, I think you see what most people would tell you you were going to see if you talk to people who are around Chip, and that's the system is based on, you know, the ability to move the chains, and it doesn't work. You can't play that tempo of football unless you're doing that because you kill your defense. So what's the best way to move the chains? Well, at Oregon, the best way to move the chains was for Marcus Mariota and Darren Thomas and, you know, those guys to run the option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the pros, maybe it's not, you know. And so I think his ability to adjust on the fly has been good. And what you always heard about Chip, too. I mean, I've been, you know, and being from New England and knowing some people who coach college ball up there, I know a fair amount of people who've been around Chip. And what they all said is, and this is maybe the difference from a guy like a Spurrier, is he's not going to bang his head against the wall. And so that to me is what's really impressive about it is that it's, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, you know, this is what's worked for him forever. And he's willing to move away from some of those things to try and make it work. And, you know, that's part of it is that you keep hearing he's too smart to fail. And I think now we're seeing a lot of that in the way that he's been able to adjust and adapt.
What is Nick Foles to you? Is Nick Foles just a guy who's playing well? I mean, this is historic what he's done in the month of November.
Well, he's got a shot to, you know, continue as the, now I think it's a little hard to say, is he going to be the franchise quarterback of the team going forward? Mm-hmm. I don't think we're there yet. And I'm not sure anybody in Philadelphia would think that we're there yet. And if, you know, say, let's bring that name up again, Marcus Mariota is available to them in April or May, then.
And why though? If a quarterback, and I've been here through a lot of quarterbacks, and had Nick been the number one draft pick of this football team and accomplished what he did as a rookie, which was set franchise records and all the major statistical categories for a rookie quarterback, and then have the kind of season, 16 touchdown passes, zero interceptions, we wouldn't even have a question about franchise quarterback. And I understand
why. What are we talking about, though? What are we talking about, though? I mean, here's the thing. You can't sign him to a contract until after his third year anyway, mm-hmm. right? So you're not even worried about that part of it, which is the major part of it, deciding whether or not you're going to financially invest in a guy. You can't, by rule, you can't make that decision until 2015 anyway.
Sure.
So you've got that leeway there. So I think what you're talking about is the decision on whether or not to draft a quarterback this year, right?
And we don't know that. We don't know how the Eagles are going
to do. And that's the thing. And so to me, you know, when you're talking about what's going to happen here and answering that question, is Nick Foles the franchise quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles going forward? There are two things at work then. A, are you going to draft a quarterback in May in the first round? And B, are you going to pay Foles? You don't need to worry about the paying Foles thing for another year and a half. The drafting a quarterback in May, I think at the very least, having Nick Foles here and him doing the job that he's done at least gives you the flexibility if you want to wait. Because go back and look, and you look at the 2011 draft, okay? Teams reached to go and get Christian Ponder, to get Blaine Gabbert, to get Jake Locker.
Yeah.
There were lots of reaches there, okay? The Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins both made a conscious decision to punt on that draft class. And they wound up getting Robert Griffin and Ryan Tannehill out of it. Now, we don't know if Griffin and Tannehill are going to be superstars.
But
they're better than Ponder. They're better than Locker. They're better than, to this point, than Gabbert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what the Eagles have now is a player in Foles who, at the very least, now maybe you hope that he's going to be the future of your franchise, at the very least gives you the flexibility where if you want to wait and you don't like the 2014 quarterbacks, you can wait a year. And then, you know, you'd be talking about guys like Jameis Winston.
It's so interesting. Teams rush their quarterbacks onto the field, and then the media rushes to anoint the fans. Is he a franchise quarterback? And I think it's a step back and let the sample size grow. There's no need to rush this decision.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and you don't want to rush that decision because you don't – and it's the same thing. You know, teams are going through this now. I mean, look at Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. Those teams are now at the point where they're in a position where they're going to have to make a decision on whether or not to pay those guys. And you're talking about an $18, $19, $20 million a year investment. Jay Cutler in Chicago. These are franchise-altering decisions. And the Eagles right now aren't at that point where they have to make one of those decisions unless they decide they really like somebody in the first round in May. And that's, you know, investing a first-round pick, even though the financial component isn't quite as heavy as if you're reinvesting in a guy. It's interesting because there are lots of moving parts there. And again, I think having Foles in the roster at those manageable numbers, you don't have to worry about his contract because you can't worry about his contract this offseason, puts you in a position where you've got the flexibility to work.
Quarterback, coach, we've been talking about it since January, and we're talking about it even now. Albert Beer, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thank you,
in the studio, Dave. Here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus steak and cheese wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
Here we are, me and you on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life. In charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Today is the first time in a long time we go surfing while well-rested. Time for some 6 a.m. Dunkin' coffee. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Coffee, brewed to perfection for the rich, smooth taste you love. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson, and this week we have two first-time guests. We have Rich Hoffman from the Philadelphia Daily News and Mike Sielski, welcoming from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Welcome back in town, Mike.
Thanks, Chris.
Good to have you
it.
Back here. So the big news this week, Chip Kelly officially names Nick Foles as a starting quarterback moving forward. Rich, no surprise on your part?
None. Less than none.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know,
Chip Kelly didn't make this decision. Nick Foles made this decision. And he made it a couple of weeks ago.
So, Mike, moving forward, what has impressed you the most about Nick Foles? What do you think that he needs to do to prove that maybe, not just for the rest of this season, but beyond, that he could be the quarterback of this team?
I think the thing that's impressed me the most is the calmness with which the offense seems to run, or has run within the last 3 weeks. I mean, obviously, you have to throw that Dallas game out because he wasn't very good in that game. But the last 3 weeks, there just seems to be a sense that this is the way it's supposed to be. And yeah, he's 6'6", and he's not very fast, but he'll run enough to do what Chip needs done in his sort of offense. Going forward, I think he's got to continue to play this way. He was asked about that today. Actually, I asked him about that today, and he said he needs to keep winning, but a lot of that depends on a lot of other factors that are out of his control. I think if he continues to play at this level or approximating this level, I think it's going to be difficult for this team to go into the draft saying, okay, we need to find a franchise quarterback.
Rich, you've covered quarterbacks here for a long time in Philadelphia. Do you think that Nick Foles is someone who can have that mantle of the franchise quarterback, or do you think it's another long line of guys who maybe had a hot start but just wasn't really the guy?
You know, he does not have the advantage of the pedigree, which buys you a lot. He has to overcome that. So far he has, but I think Nick's got it exactly right. He needs to keep winning more than anything else. And I think he's, you know, Mike said it. He there's a level-headedness about him. He's eliminated the big mistake. He is, yeah, I like what I see. I really do. And he has to build on it, but I like it a lot.
So Chip Kelly has his team at 6-5. They're facing the Arizona Cardinals, who are hot themselves, winners of four straight. They're tied for second in the NFC West. And Mike, what are you most impressed by what Chip Kelly's accomplished to this point? Obviously, still a lot to prove, but to this point in the year, what are you most impressed in terms of what he's been able to do here?
That he's rolled with the punches. That he started out with Mike Vick as the starting quarterback, and the offense was one way, and he's been dealt an injury to Mike Vick, and then an injury to Nick Foles, and then an injury to Mike Vick, and he has this team, at, you know, which won four games all of last year, at 6-5, and you know, tiebreakers out of first place in its division. We're all still learning about them. This is something that I know Rich has discussed and written about, and I've discussed and written about. We're all still trying to get a sense of who he is and how this is going to go over the long term, assuming he's here for the long term. And I like what I've seen so far, and I think these final five games are really going to be fun to watch to see, okay, what is this team going to be now in this home stretch?
Rich, has he proven to you that he can win in the NFL?
Yeah, I really never had a lot of doubt. I mean, I when he walked in here and I saw established NFL people saying it's not sustainable, I kind of laughed, honestly. I mean, I am very impressed. I think a lot of people, honestly, are afraid of smart people. He walks into any room and he's the smartest guy, and especially in football terms. He's got a lot of personality when he wants to. He's got a lot of confidence. It's very clear, and I think, in fact, this week I'm really interested to see with a bye week if he's got a new bag of tricks, and I think there's a chance he does.
Last question for you guys. Now this team, as we said, is 6-5, right in the thick of the playoff race. Mike, do you think that this team can indeed make the postseason in Kelly's first year as head coach?
I have absolutely no idea. I think it's possible. I think it's possible,
yes.
Yeah, because I think an NFL season, it's not just one 16-game in 17-week entity anymore. It unfolds in stages, and we're entering the final stage of it. And to that end, you have to like where the team is at. They've won three in a row. The defense has been getting better. Obviously, the quarterback play is excellent at this point. I don't know what's going to happen, but if you're an Eagles fan, you have to feel very good about where they are heading into those final 5 weeks.
What do you say, Rich?
If I had to put money on it, I'd put money on the Cowboys, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But mostly because...
We'll censor that answer here,
mostly,
all right?
Mostly because...
Burn the tape right now.
Mostly okay. Because they have the last game at home. That said, I walked into this season thinking the Eagles might win seven and ideally would just build a foundation. The last few weeks have changed my mind significantly. They can absolutely be a playoff team, and it won't take a lot. Like I said, your money I'll bet on, but they're pretty close.
That's what I've got here in the pocket right now, so we'll make that happen. Mike, Rich, great stuff. Thank you very much for joining us here on our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And remember, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 Netflix chances, 5 cash prizes, 4 Big Fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified, authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
You know, it is cold outside now. Windy, cold. Perfect time for you to gear up Eagles style, and we've got all the right Eagles merchandise for you in our official Eagles Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field and online here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Look at that sweet Eagles toboggan hat, neato jacket underneath it, wintertime, all the outerwear you need, the Eagles have it for you. Order now, and you can get your orders in time for the holidays. Everybody wants to look right. Well, we've got it for you. And by the way, on Sunday, in stock, fresh, and also for Black Friday tomorrow, the Eagles black jerseys, which they'll wear Sunday against the Cardinals. Nick Foles, Authentics, black jerseys in stock on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles Pro Shop and the outlet stores in the area in New Jersey, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. All right, Eagles running backs coach Deuce Staley, a lot to work with. We talk with him as he breaks it down in our Coach's Corner this week right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
While currently leading the NFL in rushing, LeSean McCoy has had help from an aggressive offensive line on the field and an insistent mentor on the sidelines. That man in his ear knows a lot about flourishing on the field, as not too long ago, he was in his shoes. Deuce Staley fills us in on the success of Shady and the other backs in his group.
LeSean McCoy talents are, he has great ones. And when I talk about his talents, you know, there's a couple things you got to think about. You got to think about how fast he's thinking once he gets the ball and his legs being able to catch up with his mind as he's making a move. So I tell you, he has great talents. You see him each and every Sunday, no matter if it's in the passing game or no matter if it's in the running game, he's able to go out there to make you say, ooh, or ah. So he's exciting to watch.
Takes the snap. He gives it off to McCoy. Up the middle he goes. Jumps over one man. He's at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Shady McCoy.
I see LeSean McCoy being one of the best backs to play here. Being able to make defenders miss in a small area. When you go back and you look at some of his greatest runs, some of his runs, they started the line of scrimmage of making two or three guys miss. Well, he's able, and I always call it the phone booth, he's able to go in the phone booth and disappear. So when you go turn the film on and you're studying LeSean McCoy, you watch how quick he gets in and out of the hole when the hole is closed, and he's able to get to the next level and make a linebacker miss.
First and 10 at the 46. Foles comes right back to Brown at the 50, at the 45. Ducks outside at the 40, at the 30, at the 25. The most productive running by Bryce Brown this season puts the the Eagles deep in Raiders territory.
I tell you, Bryce Brown development has come a long way. He has really developed as a player and as a young man. Very proud of him because he took this offseason seriously. In OTAs, he was working on ball security. He was able to go get stronger, both mentally and physically. He was able to take what I was teaching him on tape, and he was able to translate onto the field.
Chris Polk comes in. It is second and goal at the four. Vic goes to Polk, up the middle, spinning, and he is in. Touchdown! His first in the NFL, Chris Polk.
On the back of Chris Polk's jersey, it should say Warrior, because that's who I believe he is. Chris is able to go out there and play with injuries. He's laughing and joking every day in practice. He loves contact. He loves the physicality that the game brings. And I'm proud of Chris. I'm proud of Chris simply because he understands his role. He understands that it may be a time here or there, he get a carry here, he get a carry there. But other than that, he's gonna go out there and give his all in special teams. But Chris, man, he makes me smile. I'm proud of him. The running game has been successful simply because you have a staff that's dedicated to running the ball. And when you look at Chip from Oregon until now, nothing has changed. He loves running the ball. And I'm glad to be a part of that. And of course, the running backs are licking their chops. They're glad to be a part of running the ball. Every good back gets into a groove once he gets the ball more and more and more. And no different from a great back like LeSean McCoy. He gets the ball more and more and more, and you start to see him get into that zone. And I tell you, it's special.
And that is Deuce Staley. You can watch it on Inside the Season, presented by Verizon Wireless. It airs every Friday at 1:05 a.m., Saturday at 7:30 p.m., on 6ABC in Philadelphia, and of course online at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. You can watch it on demand anytime you would like. Inside the Season, great show from the Eagles Television Network. All right, time to talk a little bit about your fantasy football lineup. I know in the midst of all this Thanksgiving fun, you're frantically figuring out, who am I going to start? Who am I going to start? I've got three games today. Well, Joe Dolan, our fantasy guru, stops by and gives us his fantasy spin.
Well, after a week off for the Eagles, they return to action this week against the Arizona Cardinals. A very good defense, and that means fantasy implications for your Eagles-heavy fantasy teams. I'm Bo Wolf. That's Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com as we go inside the fantasy spin this week, Joe. And the Cardinals have the second-best run defense in the league. Are you hesitant at all about starting LeSean McCoy?
The short answer is absolutely not, Bo, because I think the one thing that the Eagles have proven is that they run the football better than anybody stops it. But even when Shady McCoy has gotten slowed down a little bit, like the Giants game earlier this year, he still managed to catch passes and make an impact that way. We saw Shady in the Eagles last time out against Washington catch a long pass on a wheel route that the Eagles have started to use to beat man coverage a little bit. And the one thing that I have to point out about the Eagles matchup in this game is Chip Kelly has done an unbelievable job scheming against defenses that scheme a lot. Guys like Jim Haslett, Dom Capers, Jason Tarver from Oakland, these coaches, these coordinators, really try to scheme pressure with a lot of blitzes and a lot of different personnel packages. Everything Chip Kelly does, from the pace to his offensive packages to the way he spreads the field, negates that. And it's going to be a really interesting chess match because the Cardinals are the most talented defense the Eagles have faced this year. They have elite players on every level of the defense. But everything Chip Kelly has done this year has shown that he simplifies a defense, that he tries to make a defense think too much, and he scares them. So I love this about Chip Kelly. I'm going to love watching this matchup, and Shady McCoy, I think, is still going to have some success.
How about Nick Foles officially named the starter for the Eagles this week? Are you confident starting him as well?
Confident is maybe a little strong because of the matchup and having Patrick Peterson presumably shadow DeSean Jackson, but Nick Foles has performed well enough that I think I can go into this matchup feeling more confident in him than I would in a guy like Andrew Luck, who's really been struggling, for instance.
We will move on to Andrew Luck in just a little bit. Quick, one more question about this matchup, a personal question. Searching for a defense this week, would you consider the Eagles defense at home against this Cardinals offense?
I think the one thing that would make me consider the Eagle defense a little bit more is the fact that the pass rush has started to come alive. Now, Arizona's pass protection has been a lot better, but I think the Eagles can make them one-dimensional because Arizona's run defense, still not very good, still not in the top half of the National Football League at this point.
All right, well, we teased a little bit. Let's go to Andrew Luck. look. The Colts team, their offense especially, imploding a little bit. They've lost Reggie Wayne. Mm-hmm. That offensive line cannot protect him. How do you feel about Andrew Luck moving forward?
And the fact of the matter is, I just don't feel good at all. I think the Indianapolis Colts might have the biggest identity crisis in the National Football League. And the reason is, I think Chuck Pagano wants to play defense and run the football. He does not have the personnel to do either of them, especially along the offensive line. The Trent Richardson trade at this point is a bust. And right now, Andrew Luck's best receiver is T.Y. Hilton, who I think at this point in his career is better as a complementary player. If I have Andrew Luck, I understand that the Colts' struggles are not his fault. But I also understand that this might be the best year for streaming quarterbacks ever. Josh McCown, Mike Glennon, Kellen Clemens, all of these guys have come through at some point. And you can maybe find one on your waiver wire and start playing musical quarterbacks down the stretch if you're still alive with Andrew Luck as your quarterback. I don't feel good about him this week, and I don't feel good about him with the rest of his schedule.
The Eagles have a difficult matchup defensively this week, we talked about. How about Russell Wilson going up against what has been one of the better pass defenses in the league in the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, I do have to take into account, though, some of the quarterbacks that the Saints have faced recently.
Sure.
They faced Thaddeus Lewis. They faced Geno Smith, and they got a really bad performance out of Tony Romo. Now, that I think that's credit to Rob Ryan, but Russell Wilson, the thing that I've loved about him is that he has been maybe the most efficient fantasy quarterback in the world. Like, he's putting up huge fantasy numbers by throwing the ball like 20 times a game. He's averaging nearly 9 yards per completion. Percy Harvin coming off the bye is only going to help that. If I've been rolling with Russell Wilson, if I've gotten to this point with Russell Wilson, I am not hesitant to start him this week. I am much more scared of a guy like Andrew Luck, for instance, than I am of Russell Wilson. I wouldn't be rushing to pick up Josh McCown to start for Russell Wilson. Let's put it that way.
Couple quick hitters. If you are in bad enough shape at running back that you need to keep an eye on the Rashad Jennings, Darren McFadden situation in Oakland, where do you lean?
Well, I'm leaning to Rashad Jennings. The guy's been a top five running back over the past month. Now, does it knock Rashad Jennings a little bit that Darren McFadden can come back this week? I think so. I think you're a little concerned about that. Do you go out and pick up McFadden and maybe decide, hey, what if Jennings gets hurt, or what if McFadden comes out and has a huge game? Sure, but at this point, I view McFadden as a bench stash and maybe a little bit more of a hindrance to Rashad Jennings than anything else.
Raiders play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. One more Thanksgiving Day question. Matt Flynn going to get the start at quarterback for the Packers this week. Is he a streaming possibility for you?
Well, last week I recommended Mike Glennon against the Detroit Lions, and I'm going to recommend Matt Flynn against the Detroit Lions too. Flynn clearly performs well in this system. He got the ball to his weapons, Jordy Nelson, Jarrett Boykin, and James Jones. Brandon Bostic, the young tight end, is interesting. And the Packers have a run game, so I'm totally cool. For instance, if I have Andrew Luck, I think I'd rather start Matt Flynn than him this week.
Well, that is the wisdom from Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com. Follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan and listen to him on your satellite radio, Sirius 210 XM87.
All righty, when we return to Eagles Live here on this Thanksgiving Day at the NovaCare Complex, we sit down, Chris McPherson does, with Trent Cole. A defensive end, one of the very best in Eagles history, makes the transition to outside linebacker and has stepped up his game, has been productive. Trent Cole looking very much at home at that outside linebacker position, and we sit down and talk with him on the other side here on Eagles Live. Coming right back.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
We welcome you inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson alongside the Hunter. Trent Cole, the man himself, is here in the studio, and it's the beginning of a new month. This Sunday it'll be the Eagles-Cardinals, December 1st, and the Eagles are very much in the playoff hunt, something that hasn't happened here in a couple of seasons. What's it like to be playing these meaningful games down the stretch?
Well, I mean, it's been great right now. You know, we've turned around this season. It was kind of iffy there a little bit, in the start of the season. But things has been turned around. Teams playing great together. You know, we're playing together as a team, and we're winning games. And you know, only thing we got to do now is just finish strong from here. You know, we came off a bye week. You know, with a win against the Redskins, and like I said, now it's we got to win. We got to win out.
How refreshing was it for you to get those two sacks against Washington after persevering and pushing all season long, only having one sack before that? What was it like to have that multi-sack performance against Washington and a very good left tackle in Trent Williams?
It was great. You know, just like I said, just you know, throughout the season, it was kind of it's been rough. You know, I've been trying my hardest to get there, but like I said, I'm playing a new defense, I'm playing a new position, and I'm learning and I'm improving every game, and I felt myself improve. Just being in that Redskins game, I felt myself improve from just the last game we played against them. And like I said, it was just a great feeling to have two sacks.
What's been the biggest difference for you? You've been so great throughout your career, getting after the quarterback, playing in this new role. What changed for you? What finally evolved for you to be able to break through and get those two sacks?
I had to learn to rush with, rush with two other guys. You know, when you're playing a 3-4 defense and you only got three guys rushing at times, and I've had to learn to rush with three guys instead of rushing with four guys. You know, it's different. You know, when you rush with three guys, I'm going back there. That quarterback there's plenty of places he can leak out, you know, and like I said, it's hard, you know, and you got to just try to get there as much as you can. I had to change up my rush, and I kind of found something that, you know, that I'm going to keep sticking by for the rest of the season.
Is it a secret?
Yeah,
I
keep it's a secret. So
okay,
and this is, you know, so I can just keep being, you know, have success at it. You know,
well, how important was it for you guys to finish the way you did against Washington? Everyone knew that you guys were trying to get that home victory, the 10 straight home losses, and to have the game on the line. The Redskins are driving down the field, and for Brandon Boykin to get that interception in the end zone to seal it. How important was it for the defense with the game on the line to seal the victory?
It's great when you know, one thing, one of our goals is when we're going out there as a defense, we want to get off on third down and get turnovers. And, we knew that we had a step up. It was on us. You know, the game was on the defense. And, you know, we had to go out there and do our part. The offense did their part, and they couldn't do no more, you know. And as a defense, we got to go out there and do our part. And we went out there, did what we had to do, got the job done, you know, and created a turnover. And, you know, all she wrote, you know, game over, we win.
So you got the two sacks against Washington. It is hunting season. You know, we're coming off Thanksgiving, so you have the hunting of the turkey. So is it going to be hunting quarterback season now for Trent Cole?
Yes. It's. I think the season's already started a long time ago for quarterbacks. But like I said, yeah, we're starting off this bye week, on Thanksgiving week. And, we're going to make this a good one.
The bye came very late in the season for you guys. How do you feel physically going into week 13?
Great. You know, I feel better than I ever felt, you know, in playing in the league. You know, just what Chip has, brought to this team. And, it's just, like I said, the stuff we're doing has been great. And like I said, I think that, you know, I probably speak for other guys as well. You know, we feel strong.
Now, why is that? What changes did you make, not only maybe here, but off the field? I mean, is it the sleep? Is it nutrition? What things are you doing differently now that maybe you didn't do earlier in your career?
It's everything. You know, everything, like I said, what you do on Monday is going to affect you on Sunday. You know, and you have to start every week. It's got to be the same routine. You got to keep on that routine. That's just I was on a different routine, you know, before Chip came here, Bear head coach. You know, I was on a different routine, you know, playing at defensive end. Now I'm playing outside linebacker and I'm playing different positions. Now I'd have had going a different, just a different type of routine. And now, you know, like I said, whatever you do on Monday, it's going to affect you on Sunday. So I go through the same routine. When Monday comes, I'm on the same routine.
This Sunday, you have the Arizona Cardinals. You guys are not allowed more than 21 points in a game since the end of September, 7 straight games. What do you guys have to do to keep that streak going?
As a team, we had to go in here and we had to be disciplined. Everybody has to do their job. We had to go in here, and the key thing to, you know, while we're winning games and stuff, because everybody is doing their job. Everybody's doing their assignments. You know, one guy, you got to remember this game, the way the NFL is today, is that, you know, games are being won by, you know, by little points. But, you know, and all it does is take one mistake by a team, you know, and the teams that don't make the mistake always win the game. You know, if you go in there mistake free, you'll win the game. I mean, you're 95% chance that you're going to win the game. And, like I said, you know, as a team, we have to go in there and execute. You know, we got to go in there and pretty much beat the man on the side of the ball.
Trent Cole, best of luck, outside linebacker, coming off a 2-sack performance against Washington, hoping to get after Carson Palmer this Sunday. Thank you very much for joining us inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Here you go.
Spicy.
You mean her?
No, it's the spicy smoked sausage sandwich. See?
It better be.
Grab the new spicy smoked sausage breakfast sandwich. It's the smoked sausage you crave, now spicy. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 max, 6 chances, 5 cash bags, 4 big floors, 3 daily numbers, 2 mega millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Today is the first time in a long time we go surfing while well rested. Time for some 6 a.m. Dunkin' coffee. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Dunkin' coffee, brewed to perfection for the rich, smooth taste you love. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. Well, Chip Kelly held a press conference a little earlier in the morning, and in case you missed it, pretty animated stuff there. By the way, that's the Eagles' schedule. You know that. 5 games remaining. And Chip takes it one game at a time. You see, we're trained here to do the one game at a time thing. So it's the Cardinals on Sunday. Get a sneak peek at the Lions today. They're the opponent on December 8th. And away we go. 5 games left. All right, Eagles holding a press conference this morning. Chip Kelly's final media address. It was interesting conversation. A lot to do with Bruce Arians, the Arizona head coach, calling the read option offense a good college offense. Now, that's not the offense the Eagles run. Nevertheless, the media wanted to find out from Kelly what he thought of Coach Arians and his comments.
I don't think it's an offense. I think it's a play. So,
I mean, and we don't run read option if you want to get really technical. We run a zone replay every once in a while. So it's just like saying our offense is a power offense because we run the power play. Or the old Green Bay Packers, ran, their offense was the Green Bay sweep offense. It isn't. Everybody's got a bunch of plays they run offensively, whether it's everybody's got quick game, everybody's got screens, everybody's got drop back, everybody's got out of pocket, everybody's got power, counter, inside zone, outside zone. So I never looked at it as an offense. So I don't care what other people think. So I don't. It doesn't bother me, and I don't. I mean, to spend time for me to think about what someone else thinks is counter to anything I've ever believed in my life. If I believe what other people think, then that means I value their opinion more than I value my own. That's not the case. It's that quarterbacks get hurt. Quarterbacks have got hurt in practice. Quarterbacks get hurt running out of bounds. Quarterbacks get hurt when a blitz hits them and they don't recognize it. I don't look at it that way. Never have looked at it that way. So. Here's our offense. We run the Seacoast offense. If we see something, okay, and we like it and we think it fits, we're going to run it. So the Philadelphia Eagles run the Seacoast offense. Let's run with that today, and we'll go from there.
All right, that is Chip Kelly, the best of from this morning. We thank you for joining us on Eagles Live. We'll have Nick Foles live for you at about 1 o'clock, so stay tuned for that to get away from the Lions game and watch Nick Foles, the NFC's offensive player of the month for November, his final press briefing before Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals. Big coverage for you on game day, of course. We begin at 11 o'clock with our rundown of the Eagles. I'm sorry, 10 o'clock with the Eagles television network lineup. And then at 12:30, we have the kickoff show. And we'll show you the live scene at Lincoln Financial Field. The crowd's going to be amped up for this one. Holiday weekend, terrific, terrific day on Sunday. Eagles wearing the black unis, ready to go against the Arizona Cardinals. And, of course, we'll have it covered throughout the day, culminating with our postgame show presented by Rico. I'm joined by Adam Kaplan and Jeremiah Trotter for that one. Eagles Live returns on Monday at noon, Chip Kelly's day after press conference included in that show. Again, we thank you for joining us, everyone. Have a great, happy, healthy Thanksgiving weekend, and go Eagles Sunday against the Cardinals.